I've been talking to you about Christmas. What is this thing? There's a Christian Christmas, I think. From now on, I'm going to refer to it to Christmas when I'm in your company for your sake. But I really believe it to be a celebration of the first Advent, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christmas in America today, you know, Jesus just doesn't seem to be in the word Christmas. Christ just happens to be part of saying we're going to have a big holiday, a big one. My goodness. They're planning on us spending $242 billion on Christmas. But none of it's going to come to GHCC. It's going to go to all kinds of other things that will find their way into the message just because. So family, I'm doing whatever I can to encourage you in the way you would like to celebrate the holiday. But I'd like you to start teaching your kids and yourself the real Christmas. And that's talking about Advent. The planning for the coming of and the enjoying of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So before we get into our study of the wonder of Jesus, we have on the screen, or coming to the screen, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For you who are new, you'll see a parenthesis there. In that parenthesis, I want to ask you to put your name. Because the Word of God, this beautiful book, is not just filled with the Word, it is filled with the heart of our Heavenly Father. He asks the Holy Spirit to speak to each of His adopted kids, you and me, who are in Christ Jesus. And if there's anyone here not in Christ Jesus, we look forward to the day that you will bow your knee and confess Him as Lord and Savior. But the Word of God, as I said, is for us. It was intended not to be read as a novel. It was intended to be read as a guidepost from our Heavenly Father for every person on the face of the earth on how to live their lives, and especially how they might come to be part of His family, be adopted into it through believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So let's look at this passage. You put your name in there. We read it aloud. Read with gusto in your voice, kind of like I'm speaking now. But let's read it together, shall we? Ron, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So if you want to maintain your gift giving during this season of the year and look at it as being Christmas and think about the gift that you were given, and that's Jesus. When you responded by God's favor upon your life through the wonderful gift of faith in Him. And then you saw yourself as God sees you. But He doesn't see you with a vengeance in His heart. He looks at you with love and He says, you who are part of My kids, I want you to get closer to Me because I've got a lot to teach you. And you and I together can accomplish much. But for those of you who have yet to come to know My Son, I don't want to beat up on you. I just want you to see for sure that you understand from My perspective, not the guy that's yakking at you, but from Father God's perspective, that you're a sinner. You've done a lot of things wrong. So is that guy who's talking at you, and that's why he's not yelling at you. Because I forgave him of a lot of stuff. And I still do. Because that man is not perfect. And neither are you who are outside of Christ. Now we want you so very much Not so much to be filling up a seat here at GHCC. That would be great. What we want you to be filling up one of the chairs in God's living room as one of his sons or his daughters. And that's part of the wonder why Jesus came. He came for you. He wants you to be in his family. But that requires you having faith in his son, responding to his favor upon your life, asking him to forgive you for the things you've done wrong, things you have thought that are wrong, the sins in your life. And if you ask him, Jesus went to the cross for each and every one of those sins, every one of them. You mean even my big one that I don't like talking about? That one too. There isn't a sin in your life that he didn't take care of on the cross. And he wants you to be bathed in his love and get to know him in a rich, personal way now. And then one day, he'll summon you home to heaven. But right now, the bad news is there's damnation in hell waiting for that person. And no one at GHCC wants that person to go to hell. We love you too. And we want you to join us here, like at Soup and Sing. What is that all about? You guys are going to drink soup and sing? Well, that's not all. But yeah, there's a history behind that. Meaningful. You come. You check it out. Sign up at the back. Turn to page 5, if you would, of your on your message notes. We're going to get back in here to the wonder of Jesus. Wonder. Excuse me. Wonder is to be filled with admiration, amazement, awe, and to marvel at this one who came at this time. Now, if you're new with this, we want you to understand that the early church, they decided that they wanted to change a pagan holiday and make it a Christian holiday. If you look at Christmas today, it's not a Christian holiday. It's a pagan holiday. When you think about $242 billion expected to be spent on anything but Jesus Christ, is this about Jesus? No, it's about every person that you buy gifts for. He's the one that we should be buying gifts for if we're going to celebrate his birthday. His birthday really didn't take place on December 21st. That was Saturnalius, or 25th, I guess I should say. That was Saturnalius. That was a pagan holiday. They worshipped a pagan god. It was the time of the winter solstice. It had nothing to do with Jesus. But a bunch of bright-minded people decided to make it his birthday. His birthday is really in March, April, or May. And I'd kind of like to do a different celebration in March, April, or May. Really, I like celebrating him every week. This is why we come together corporately, make much of him, and to let him just know how much we individually and then corporately love him. So, on page 5 of your notes, we've already talked about Simeon in some detail, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, and others. Lots of people involved in the advent of our Lord Jesus. But we're going to pick up this morning and look again at Mary and Joseph there on page 5. They're in awe. They marveled at the words prophesied by Simeon about their baby, Jesus. If you weren't here, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple and they met Simeon, a really righteous man, a man who loved God with as much of his heart as a human being can. He was very devoted to God. And he worked in the temple long hours. And he'd been waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God. And he had received, I can only guess, a special revelation, because he knew when he saw the baby Jesus that he was the child Messiah. And he was thrilled. He told the Lord in a praise, "I'm so glad that you've allowed me to see the Messiah before that time when I would die." Now, people tend to think, because of the verbiage there, that Simeon was a very, very old man, kind of like the kid standing in front of you. But he very well could have been a younger man, like so many of the guys here in the worship center. There's no indication that he was an old man. We just think maybe he was an old man. There are a lot of young men that are facing death right now. I'm older than they are, and they're going to go to heaven. They're going to beat me there. A whole bunch of them beat me there already. But at any rate, as we think about the exegesis of these passages that we go through, just want to be careful we don't do some eisegesis at the same time, because the early church did. And there are a lot of us who simply receive what other people tell us. And that's why every one of you need to be good Bereans. And whatever I may say to you, you see in those message notes, you need to go check them out yourself and make sure I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. So looking back here, Mary and Joseph marveled at the words prophesied by Simeon about their baby Jesus. We see in Luke's gospel, chapter 2, beginning in verse 33. And here the Holy Spirit has Luke pour out to us, and he says, "And his father and his mother marveled." Joseph and Mary marveled at what was said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, check this out. This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many." There are going to be a lot of people that are going to hear what your son has to say, and they're not going to receive it. Just like today, lots of people have said no to our Lord Jesus. I hope they change their mind before they have to give up these bodies and become spirit beings only in hell. And his father and mother marveled at what was said of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising." That's for so many of you. You've been born again. You've been raised up. You're going to heaven. You have a relationship right now. Every day in your deep personal experience with him, you can have a terrific time. You can begin your day and end your day and live your day with the personal Son of God. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." He's going to be opposed. We see that in the scripture. We've seen the opposition each Sunday that we've been studying the book of Acts. "He will be opposed. He will be spoken against. Some of us have had the pleasure of meeting those people and hearing them, not shouting praises about him, but speaking against our wonderful Lord. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. He's addressing Mary here. You're going to have a double-edged sword go right through your heart, Mary. You're going to see your son, but she doesn't know this yet. You're going to see your son up on a cross. You're going to see him agonizing. You're going to hear him cry out. You're going to hear him cry out the good news to tell us it is finished. He came, finished the job for why he really came. You see, Christmas isn't about this gift-giving thing. Never was about that. But we corrupt human beings. We made it about that. He came for what we celebrate at Easter. That's why he came. He came for you. He came for you. But here he tells Mary she's going to feel like a sword's been thrust to her heart, like Kathy was sharing. A sword was thrust through her heart and mine. When I came home from that elders meeting and listened to the voice messages, and the coroner said he wanted to talk to us, but it was past the time that they would be in the office. And why does the coroner want to talk to me about my son? There's only one reason. And as you heard, that's when I called Martha. Our son was dead. So that thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. People are going to be for this baby. Other people are going to be against him. And there's going to be tremendous grief, in this case for Mary and for Joseph and for others. Looking back at your notes here, people in the temple that day no doubt wondered about the words of Anna. Anna's a prophetess. What a terrific lady. And other portions of scripture that I don't have here for you, but you can read about it. You can read about it. She's 84 years old. She's 84. She's like our Elizabeth, who's 90. She's 84 years old, and she works night and day in the temple. She is completely sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely sold out. She's an example for Christians today to follow. People in the temple that day no doubt wondered about the words Anna, the prophetess, who spoke about the redemption to come through this baby Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 38, the Holy Spirit tells us, and coming up at the very hour, that very hour, she, Anna, began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So excited. Simeon said and was doing the things he was talking about, and Anna is just coming alongside and following up and making all these things clear to the people coming to the temple. The Messiah has been born. Looking back at your notes, the Magi must have wondered about the meaning of the star they saw and the baby to whom they brought gifts, and about the dream that warned them against Herod, that awful king. We see in Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and we remember that was the fulfillment of a prophecy by who? Oh, come on. Yeah, we can't listen to him. Micah, yes, thank you. Micah, he's a prophet. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east. We think that's possibly east of Babylon. And bear in mind here, when you look here, he says, now after Jesus was born. All of our nativity sets, we got the wise men at the stable when Jesus was born. That's not what the scripture says. That's our eisegesis working. And if we are really careful with our exegesis, then we realize what I have believed in the past and was taught by somebody, I was wrong. We will do our very best to share with you the truth from this pulpit, from these classrooms on this campus. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? That must have just thrilled Herod. A king has been born of the Jews? I'm the king. He's not really the rightful king. He was put on the throne by Rome. He's really not a descendant of Jewish parents. He is a descendant of the people of Esau, people the Jews didn't like, which meant they didn't like him even more. For we saw his star. Now that's always troubled me, the star. They can see a star. Now, did they only travel at night? Or was his star so brightly luminous that you could see it during the day too? This word star in the Greek text is astar. Astar. And it means luminous body. But it's used in scripture for meteors, for angels. So what is a star? I've often thought that it's more than simply a star, maybe a symbol put in the sky by our God to say, here is a luminous body. This is my Shekinah glory, maybe. I'm still wrestling with it. In English, we've got star. And when it rose and have come, for we saw the star when it rose and have come to worship Jesus, this newborn king. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He is a really bad dude, to say the least. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, up to this point, nothing is said about the Christ. Nothing is said about a baby being the Son of God. But here we move immediately right to his saying, he inquired of them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. Special revelation, I'm guessing. They told him, the scribes and so forth, the priests, he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet Micah. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time this luminous body, maybe it was a star, maybe it was just a closer one, or our Lord made it brighter than all the other stars. Secretly and ascertained from them what the star, the time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for this child, the paedion. That's the word for the child. Remember I taught you a week or so about when we looked at the child, but in the stable and in the manger, this child that was talked about was a Bethphos. You see, in English we use a word like child to mean all kinds of things. But in Greek, they're very specific most often when they wanted to describe something. So the child in the stable, he is a Bethphos. That term meaning a child that has not been born yet or has just been born. But here, the paedion, this is a child up to the age of 7 years. So we have the Magi not at the stable. We have the Boy, wait till you get my age. Make it louder, Chris, so I can really honk it. Yes, newcomer, we are like this all the time. Sometimes they even turn me off. They think it's funny. So, a paedion, this is an older child. So, the Magi, they have come sometime later, and I will teach you in just a few minutes, that Herod's going to want to kill all the children in the Bethlehem environs that are 2 years and under. So they're already anticipating that this newborn king, the Messiah, he could be up to 2 years old. So it's been a while since Jesus came into the world. It's not like that little thing you have out now with all of the animals and so forth surrounding the baby Jesus that Barbara would steal if she could. Herod summoned the wise men secretly. Go search diligently for the paedion, the older child. And when they have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Yeah. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, that luminous body. I don't know if it's day or night. That luminous body that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child, the paedion, a child that's older than a Bethphos, was. This is probably evening. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You know, coming and worshiping with you guys on Sunday mornings, you would think, man, after all these years, it must be boring. Not at all. It is fun. It is a joy, an absolute joy in going into the house. Oh, I thought it was a stable. You showed us pictures in Christmas series past of a star impregnated in rock, and you go down into a grotto, and that was a grotto. That was a stable. That's where Jesus was born. And now you're telling us that they arrived and they went to a house? Yeah, this is sometime later after Jesus was born, possibly up to 2 years. And going into the house, they saw the pavilion, the child, with Mary, his mother. It's noted to me that Joseph isn't there. He's probably working two jobs or something. The child with Mary, his mother, and they, the word here is proskuneo. Proskuneo, it means that they prostrated themselves. The English is, fell down and worshiped him. They fell from a higher place to a lower place. We get our word prostrate from it. And they laid before him, they laid on their chests before him, putting out their arms in towards him. They worshiped him in a humble way. Have you ever, in your own time with the Lord, laid prostrate in your bedroom or in the living room or wherever it is that you have your DPE? Have you ever just laid out humbly before him and worshiped? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they fell down and worshiped him. Now, I'm not suggesting, because you love your little two-year-old so much, that you prostrate before that little boy or girl. But you might teach that little boy or girl as she grows up to humbly worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that he or she might see you actually sitting in your easy chair and praying, or reading the Word of God. You know, I was wonderfully amazed 35 or more years ago when maybe it was Christmas. My kids, they gave me a figurine. And the figurine was sitting in a chair. And then under it you read, reading the Word of God. And that's what my girls and my son had seen me doing. I don't know if they had some help from their mom or not. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you just happened to lift your head at a particular time and you see your son standing there at the doorway? That's my dad. That's my mom. They're worshiping the Lord. And they fell down and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. Gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, folks, if you're really stuck on this Christmas thing and gift giving, I'll take the gold. You don't have to give me the frankincense or the myrrh, but I'll take the gold. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. They went off in another way. There's lots of exegesis you can do in this passage. It's so rich, but I need to finish up here. Look at your notes. Joseph wondered wondered. The wonders of Jesus. Joseph wondered about his dream and warned him to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt to avoid Herod. In Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15, now when they had departed, the Magi had departed. And how many Magi are there?
Three.
How many Magi? We know that there's over one, don't we? Because the eisegesis says there's three gifts, there must have been three magi. No, there could have been 30 magi and three gifts. You know, that gold? You know, maybe it was real heavy and they had to have a lot of people carry it in. Again, if you want to give gold, I'll help you carry it. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Oh, that wonderful angel, or a different one, I don't know for sure. Appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the Padion and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the Padion, the child, to destroy him." And he rose and he took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet. We believe it was the prophet Hosea. Chapter 11, verse 1, if you want to search it out more. Those are just the moments of wonder that we've been able to cover these last few weeks that are recorded here in the scripture that we've mined out together. But there's more there, and I encourage you to go back and do some more digging. Think how many more countless moments there must have been among the people of Nazareth and Judea who were witnesses to the first Christmas. And I say that loosely because as we go here through the fill-ins, some of these weren't the first Christmas, the first Advent. The virgin conceiving a child. I mean, we're told about that by Isaiah 750 years before it took place. The Messiah is born in a stable, sleeping in a manger. Royal officials from the east appearing and worshiping the baby. I really don't think they're at the first Christmas. Prophets in the temple declaring that Jesus was the Messiah, never having seen him before. That had to be revelatory. King Herod killing scores of male babies. What did this all mean? What would you and I have thought if we had been living there when the first Advent took place? How many nights might we have sat up late talking about these events, trying to put two and two together? I'm still trying to do that after all the years that I've had the privilege of following the Lord. I can assure you that we would have exhibited far more wonder than we do today. The Bible just isn't a book that is enjoyed being read by the church today. Looking at your notes, today at Christmas, first Advent, people, Americans, tend to wonder about a whole different set of events. They don't wonder about these things. They wonder about, well, number one, I wonder if we should get Bobby or Braylon a new iPhone now or wait. You know, the next generation might come out in a few more days. They're tricky like that. Maybe it'll be cheaper. Yeah, sure, bet. And have more features. I wonder if we should fly mom and dad's, should fly to mom's and dad's place this Christmas, or bring them out here. Are they getting too old for the hassles of flying? Kathy and I aren't. Maybe that's asking too much of them. Would you answer that, please, and tell them I'm busy? I wonder if we should set limits on our gift buying this year. You know, we didn't get our last credit card bill from Christmas last year paid off till this past June. I wonder what happened, whatever happened to the way Christmas used to be. You know, some of you had fireplaces, so you sat around the fireplace. You sang Christmas carols. You made simple gifts. We have the most simple, beautiful gifts from our grandchildren. Paintings that are better than Picasso. I wonder if we could ever get back to that. Well, how do we apply these 3 weeks that we've been in this passage? And what action steps? Last bit of wondering is a valuable one. To be wondering about what has taken place this first Advent. A good place to start this year is to spend some time reflecting on the wonders that we've discovered of the true Christmas account. Raise questions, study the scriptures pertaining particularly to this time, the first Advent in Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel. Give thanks for what you know and pray about what you don't. Looking at your notes, wondering and marveling at what Father God has done. It's one of the positive things about Christmas, wondering about those things. I've raised things for some of you that haven't been there before in Luke's gospel or Matthew's, to see things how it isn't like the old church said it was. So you're ready to wonder and to marvel? I hope so, that this Advent season will mean more to you in 2024 than in any year prior. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, I stand here with a wonderful church family in awe. Truly, in awe. I pray, Father, that you will work in each of these members of this flock in such a way that they will want to speculate with curiosity more and more about the wonder of Jesus. Please, may the Holy Spirit just rise up in each of my brothers and sisters and draw them to the wonders of your Son. May they find themselves in the next 2-3 weeks, Father, meditating, pondering in their DPE about your Son in his first coming, and all these other people who are very real with you now in heaven, with the exception of Herod. But may you rise us up to be sons and daughters that make the most of you that can be made by a serious son or daughter of the Most High God. So, Father, I ask these things that we might remember them and share them with members of our family who have yet to come to know you. Even those little ones that tag along with us to our corporate events, but to share with them up to the day that they come to faith. Maybe in sharing some of these things will wet their whistle, so to speak, to get into your wonderful living word and be changed by it. For I ask these things, our Lord, in Jesus' wondrous name. Amen.